All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. Today we have on with us a special guest, Mr. Peter Galluli. He's from the Wellness Company, the CEO of the Wellness Company. We're going to pick his brain today on, I guess you could say, bad medical practices, and then also a little bit of politics. Peter, thank you very much for coming on. And before we get started, can you introduce yourself to the audience, to people who may not be familiar with you or the Wellness Company?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So, who am I? So I'm the CEO of the Wellness Company. If you've not heard about the Wellness Company, you're not alone. We're only a year and a half old, but we're probably the fastest growing kind of alternative healthcare company in the United States today. So we founded the Wellness Company with a group of doctors who were disenfranchised during COVID. So doctors, Peter McCullough, for instance, you know, the nation's leading cardiologist in terms of published papers. He lives in Dallas, you know, right near the podcast here. Amazing doctor, lost his livelihood, his deboarded, lost the ability to work with insurance companies, all because he stood up and spoke his mind about how the country was responding to the pandemic. And there was scores of doctors just like him. And we found the Wellness Company to tap into that and say, how can we bring the patient back to the center of healthcare where it really belongs? I mean, it's really evolved into something that's just this bastardization of health and wellness where, you know, people are just an economic unit. You go to a hospital, you get a stamped treatment, and then you're sent on your way. I mean, even during COVID, people were told if you weren't super sick, go home and come back when you are sick. I mean, that's the opposite of what medicine should be. We're really champions of preventative care, empowering people to take their health into their own hands. And we design all sorts of supplements and pharmaceutical products that people can have to be prepared and stay well so that they don't end up in that hospital bed in the ER.
Yeah. You know, 2019, 2020, when COVID kicked off, I was on the border. Our special response team, we were working the border. We were actually in Laredo. And so, you know, we were coming across all kinds of people with nasty bugs all the time. And about 2 to 3 months later, this thing called COVID popped up. Now, a bunch of us had gotten sick on the border. And it was like a rough, like a month or two long of being sick. Like, we had guys that were taking annual leave because they were so sick, they're taking their vacation time. And, you know, no one ever explained to us what was going on. The thing that they always told us, wear your gloves, use Lysol spray, hand sanitizer, you know, the stuff that does not work to the extent that it should. And here we are, we're transporting people back and forth in vehicles. I mean, Peter, we had people who had Ebola, who had tuberculosis, vaccine-resistant polio, the plague, some sort of weird fungus thing from the Colombian rainforest that just eats through your skin and bones. We had people with MERS, SARS, Zika virus, anything you could think of crosses that border. And we're not even talking about biological, like, weapons yet. So, you know, when this whole thing kicked off, it scared the hell out of everybody. And so I wanted to ask you, before we even get started on anything else, Bill Gates said that what happened with COVID didn't really have a big reaction to people. I mean, that first couple months it did, scared the hell out of everybody. Everyone's sharing the propaganda from China and whatnot. But he said this next one, Disease X, will catch everybody's attention. What do you think he means by that? And how do we get prepared for that?
Yeah, so it really is crazy. And for the audience out there, so if you're not familiar with Disease X, or you think it's some sort of conspiracy, it's literally published now. So, you know, turn back the clock to 2019. There were forums going on in 2019 that the globalists were having and major research institutions were hosting to talk about pandemic preparedness. And lo and behold, 3 months later, boom, here's COVID. It's happening again. So the World Economic Forum on the 17th of January, so just you know a week and a half ago practically, had a panel that they hosted in Davos on Disease X. And Disease X is a hypothetical virus that makes the jump from animals to humans. Does that sound like a familiar story so far? That supposedly is 20 times more deadly than COVID. And let's look who is on this panel, the World Economic Forum, the heads of big pharma, such as AstraZeneca, Dr. Tedros with the WHO. It's like a who's who of supervillains, Doug, that are hosting this conversation about Disease X and this virus that they want to have the world prepared for by all sorts of, you know, pharmaceutical remedies, such as, you know, vaccines that are backed by big pharma. And if we learned anything from COVID, and we can go into bioweapons and biolabs and all that, but if we learned anything, you know, Pfizer went from, you know, $10, $20 billion in revenue to north of 70, right? And that was off of your and I's tax dollars, right? And I think they've found a business model here that they want to replicate. And that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. If nothing else, we can, you know, debate the, you know, depopulation agendas and everything else that the World Economic Forum might be up to. But at the end of the day, the most obvious smoking gun where we should be looking first is where the money's going. And it's going to the pockets of the government, big pharma, and insurance companies. They're the winners.
Yeah, you know, what's funny about that is when it talks about NGOs, or any type of government contracts, even if they're late, even if they haven't produced a product, they're still getting paid. Like, even if they're not even producing what they said they're supposed to produce, they haven't even passed the industry standards, they're still getting paid. And that's our money that pays them. You know, I look back and I think about this. The thing, the telltale all thing about COVID, and I would love to hear your opinion on this, was the ability to censor people to death. So, you know, DHS wanted to create its misinformation, malinformation, disinformation stuff. Of course, this went along with January 6th as well, but they springboarded off of COVID and the censorship that was expressed, if I'm correct, worldwide. I don't think there wasn't a government that didn't censor at some point in time, most especially the Council of 300, the UN. They were the biggest pushers of that. So why did COVID have to correlate with global censorship of the internet and free speech?
I mean, well, there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, I think it's really important that Americans understand this. Like, the First Amendment is being attacked. You see the Second Amendment in the news, you know, every single month, and we're fighting for that. But don't overlook the First Amendment. Freedom of speech is everything to our society, and it's rapidly eroded, right? I mean, you know, you talk about, you know, the messages that you're bringing out there, Doug. Even me, when I'm advertising for the wellness company, I can go to major conservative news outlets and try to run ads, and they will edit them. And it's not because they necessarily want to or disagree with anything that I'm saying. It's because they have to kowtow to our overlords at Google and Facebook, because ultimately they determine the number of eyeballs that gets to these websites, right? And we really need to be cognizant of this and fight back. And it really underscores the need to have sort of this parallel system that we're developing with new media companies, new healthcare companies, you know, everything. We all need to be from the ground up developing these new businesses to uproot the old ones that are spreading these propaganda. But to your point on the propaganda, at the end of the day, I think the government from, you know, basically the turn of the century on has been kind of experimenting with how far can they push the narrative? How far can they pull down the wool? I mean, you heard about, you know, the Russian collusion conspiracies that happened in, you know, 2016 with Trump, when, you know, in reality it was the exact opposite. J6. I mean, we see the truth on the cameras that people are shooting on their iPhone, and yet the government says the complete opposite. I mean, you look at, you know, Steve Ducey in the White House fighting against every single, you know, press release that the Biden administration does. They're trying to push a narrative that protects them. And why are they trying to do that? Simply put, because they'd be in another Nuremberg trial if the truth came out. And I truly believe that, sadly, is that the corruption has gone so deep that if they actually were to own up to what they did, it's not going to be like Nixon just leaving the White House and us waving bye and moving on. Like, the corruption is horrible. It's horrific. The lives and people have been hurt by corruption in the government is just astonishing. And I think that if the globalists and the people in charge ever had to answer for their crimes, there would be hell to pay. And that's why they need to continually push this narrative, because there is no turning back for them. They can't back this down and walk away from it. And I think that's why we're seeing all the censorship, all the propaganda, and all the lies.
You brought up Nuremberg. I remember when right before I got out of the government, people were discussing Nuremberg with our own CDC, the WHO, and government officials. And not that they're wrong, but you have to understand who controls the courts, who controls the military industrial complex, the pharmaceutical industrial complex, the prison industrial complex, the intelligence agency industrial complex. All these things are owned globally from the top, and the orders work them way down, but they suppress enough people with high wages and with perks so that that middleman who's quasi-patriotic is patriotic enough to his paycheck to make sure that his underlings do what the guys on the top say, even though that same guy will say, look, I don't agree with it, but that's just what we're going to do. That is the
Doug,
head in the
every man
sand.
has his price. Every man has his price. You turn on the NFL coming up here in the Super Bowl, and I'm sure you watched all season long. What was Travis Kelce pushing for $20 million in pay? More than he made playing football this year. What was he advertising, right? I won't say it, but
Commercial.
we all have seen that commercial, right? I mean, every person has their price, and people are willing to sell their souls.
So how do we wake up people that are from the grassroots to say, listen, the higher ups are a very small population of people. The rest of us, we the people, are the larger percentage. We really control and run things should we want to do that. I'm afraid though, if you wanted to go the revolution route and you wanted to overthrow and overturn these evil corporations that really do want depopulation and control. That's what it's about. It's about control and forcing your control and then depopulation and enslavement. Let's not forget that. How do we convince people at the bottom to wake up and to start spreading out? I mean, obviously the wellness company, that's a great way to start. Insurance agencies do nothing but steal and rob you blind. I mean, they rob you blind. Most people don't trust their doctors anymore, especially after 2020. So, what is your advice to people on how the wellness company can help them out right now and in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take stock where we are today. It's 2024. It's an election year. So 2020, last time we had a major global election year, we were all sitting in our basements. It was lockdowns, right? And we talked about disease X a few minutes ago, Doug. I mean, if I was a betting man, they're angling to use disease X as another excuse to lock people down, force mail order ballots, and that lets people like Joe Biden run a successful campaign from their basements. I mean, let's call it for what it is, right? So, look, I don't come on to shows like this, Doug, to be pushing fear tactics. I'm just calling it exactly as I see it. I'm not afraid because I'm prepared, right? I mean, you talk to your audience every day. Like, what do you tell them to have? Food, ammo, gold. Like, these are all critical things that every American should have in case things take a turn for the worse. At the wellness company, we're adding another layer to that. And the thing that we think you should have is medicine. We saw during the pandemic, like what happened to ivermectin, a Nobel Prize winning medication, saved millions of lives globally. The FDA still to this day has a webpage on their site with a picture of a horse that says, stop taking ivermectin, y'all, because they know that the more profitable treatments and drugs aren't ivermectin, which is cheap and plentiful, and they want to push those through the insurance companies, through the pharmaceutical companies, just like you just said, Doug. So for me at the wellness company, we're seeking to bring and empower people to have the ability to be prepared. So we offer medical emergency kits. It's our number one selling product. They're prescribed. So we have, as I was saying at the top, we have a 50-state telemedicine practice with doctors who actually, you know, share your values, right? It's cash only. We take no money from insurance companies. And that's important to us because if we did, we'd have to do everything that they say to get that check. Cash only. We sell medical emergency kits that have things like ivermectin, amoxicillin, Z-Pak, hydroxychloroquine. These are things that everybody should have in their medicine cabinets next to their Tylenol. Put it in your car. Take it on your next hunting trip. Leave it in the lake house, right? Like, you don't know when you're going to have an emergency, but you know there will be one sooner or later. And that's what we want to be preparing Americans for.
Yeah, I mean, I prepare people, teach them how to use firearms safely and correctly, and then teach them tactics, because you're not fighting paper targets, you're going to fight people. And so we do give medical courses, but the medical courses is, you know, how to apply the tourniquet and how to stick the finger in the gunshot wound. The part that we don't solve is that very important part you just said, and that's medicine. You know, if you look back in the 1700s, 1800s, early 1900s, the amounts of disease and the waves of disease that hit North America was, for a period of time, considered unprecedented, especially with the Spanish flu, the polio outbreaks. I mean, there was a point in time when, you know, tuberculosis was so bad, you would just burn buildings down. There was nothing you could do about it. And what I see, what I fear is, should the powers that be put us in these 15-minute cities, cut the power, cut the medical facilities off, cut your insurance off, and make it so that anything you do, you have to go to the federal government, because that's what communism is all about, really. You have to go to the federal government, right? In order to go to the federal government for anything, you're going to have to surrender a few certain rights.
Yeah, how would you like to maybe text the governor to see if you can turn on your electric car?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, thank you. So it's creating a self-reliance and independent nature in people. And I promote that all the time. So, you know, I appreciate the fact that the wellness company is giving people a leg up. Most of our medicine comes from where, Peter?
Overseas, about 90% of it.
Yeah, how hamstrung would we be if China decided we're not sending you anything anymore?
We'd be pretty screwed. I mean, that's like everything else in America. It's been outsourced, sadly. It's critical that we have stock and supply.
So as a medical professional, and this is your world now, with what's coming across the border, how important is having good supplements, vitamins, and these other type of medicinal agents? How important is that right now compared to anything else?
I mean, I think it's critical. I mean, we've talked about the issues at the border earlier, and I think the big story that I'm watching is these diseases. I mean, let's talk about some examples. Leprosy is now endemic in the Southeast United States. Leprosy. Like, I haven't heard about leprosy since the Bible. Polio and measles is in New York. And by the way, 20 years ago, New York declared both of those diseases dead, gone. They hadn't been seen in decades prior, and now they're back. We're seeing all these exotic diseases coming from third world countries that are just walking across the border. And people say, well, you know, oh, I live in Montana. I live in Chicago. I live in Washington. The border is far away. It doesn't concern me. But it does. I mean, that's how diseases affect everybody. I mean, it comes across the border and it just spreads. So everybody needs to be cognizant of it. This is a true public health issue. And it just underscores the need to be ready. I mean, have critical medications on hand. It's not a mystery to solve these problems. And why be caught flat-footed? I mean, it makes no sense. And to your point, you know, we spend a lot of time training people. So we have, and I don't mean to make this like a shameless pitch, so like in the kits we have, there's a 32 to 50-page guidebook, depending on the kit, that walks you through every single condition that medications treat and how to take the medications properly. It's like a doctor in a box, right? And that's the level of empowerment that we want everybody to have. We have a first aid kit. It has that tourniquet that you just mentioned. It has instructions to use the tourniquet. I mean, everybody needs to have this and be ready because, you're not ready for an emergency. That's the definition of an emergency, right? So get the information at hand so that when it does strike, you know what to do and you can safely and calmly, fall back on your training and instructions.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. You said a very, very key thing. You will always only fall back on the latest training that you had. You're not Superman who's going to rise to the occasion. That's not reality. Let's move on from here. Tell us about the biolabs. You mentioned to me earlier about biolabs. You had a little bit of information on it. What is it about these biolabs worldwide, American, I'm guessing, and why are they so dangerous?
Yeah, so biolabs have a complicated history. So I think like the first thing that the audience should understand is bioweapon. So unlike a conventional firearm or bomb, a bioweapon is a two-part weapon. There is the weapon part of the bioweapon, and then there's the cure, right? And why is that important? It's because when you detonate a bioweapon, everybody's going to get sick, including your own people, right? If you're using one of these in the front lines, your own soldiers will get sick. So you have to have the cure, or you need to be able to create the cure faster than your enemy. That's how a bioweapon is successful in theory, right? So, we can debate exactly what happened in Wuhan. I mean, I think you probably can guess where I stand on it. But the facts that we can point to today is that during the Bush and Obama administrations, there were many biolabs in the United States that were publicly funded by our tax dollars. And there were safety incidents that were, let's call them, near misses, right? And, we had big scares with anthrax and everything. So the government decided, I'd rather not have one of these on American soil in case something goes wrong. And, given the fact that we're dealing with, infectious biological agents, the probability over a long period of time that something will go wrong is pretty high. So they outsourced all this to everybody's favorite countries, China, Ukraine. I mean, the list goes on and on. And that allowed them to do this research kind of off the books, out of sight, out of mind, and hopefully, develop weapons that we could use. Now, I think we've seen what happens when you have, American-funded labs like in Wuhan that are, maybe not as cognizant of safety protocols in the U.S., but, they're developing labs. They're playing with, genetic modification technology to develop new viruses. And if you look at some of the research into, viruses that come out of the labs, there's very distinct and predictable edits to the viral DNA that can allow you to determine whether or not this was a naturally evolving virus or something that was created in the lab. So it's no secret to me that these biolabs are a way to, develop the next generation of weapons that, who knows when they could be deployed or what for. But I mean, I think COVID caught people flat-footed, and you almost think of it as a little emergency test run to see how it would work. But whether it's disease X or disease Y, who knows what's next? I mean, I would not write off the factor of biolabs as a serious threat to global health. I mean, we should not be trying to play God here, but I don't have say in that.
Yeah, it wasn't, but 2-3 years ago, when everybody was warning about biolabs, and all of us were watching, YouTube and mainstream media, and we're following what's being told to us about biolabs. And as we're being exposed to this information, lo and behold, the event 202 comes out from Bill Gates. And on it, I remember because Dave Hodges and I of the Common Sense Show, we did an interview about this, and it said that one of the categories of delivery agents for the bioweapon, the next bioweapon, would be from a terrorist attack. Within, 2 weeks of us doing that show in Africa, there is a terrorist attack. I think it's in Libya, maybe. And a group of terrorists go into a biolab and steal biological weapons and then poof, disappear. And you can't make this stuff up. Right. And you can only expect that it's going to wind up in America. No one's going to biolab or no one's going to bioweapon at China or Russia for whatever reason. They're not going to hit Iran for whatever reason. Saudi Arabia is probably going to get missed. Things seem to keep happening to Western countries. I think it's also interesting to note that during the briefings with NATO, you had members of the Russian government who were saying the U.S., along with China and a few other countries, France and Germany were some of them, that they that there was over 50 or 60 known bioweapons labs that was on the border of Ukraine and Russia, which was part of the reason why they had the special military operation to go in. And which is also why we funnel money to Zelensky, I think, honestly, to steal most of that information and to take it out of Ukraine. They said that eventually something bad was going to happen and Russia was not going to partake in it. And now all of a sudden, you know, Russia is the boogeyman again. So I think it's interesting that the biolabs are no longer talked about. Did you recall the biolab that was found almost accidentally in California, the Chinese biolab?
I remember that distinctly. Yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
Yeah. How many of those do you think we got here in the United States?
I mean, it worries me to even consider that, but it's a reality.
Yeah, I would almost say that at this point in time, any university might as well be considered a bioweapons lab, either a level one, level two, or level three. I don't think we have any level fours. If so, I think the level four is the one that has to be like 4 or 5 stories underground for containment processes. Yeah,
that we know about.
Right. That we know about. So people in austere environments, that means people in really bad times. One of the things that I push, and I don't sell anything, but one of the things that I push for people to have is gas masks. Is that something that you would recommend people also to put in that little go bag of theirs?
I mean, for we're going to describe as austere times, yes. If you're going to rely on gas masks to protect you from a virus, it's probably not going to be a great long-term solution. I mean, we joke around the wellness company, you know, the masks we used to wear during COVID are, you know, they're basically only good for Halloween or laying drywall. I mean, other than that, right, they're pretty useless. And, you know, it's very telling that the government would kind of run the experiment to see how many people they could get to comply with a mask mandate when even surgeons who wear masks every day, you know, they wear masks to protect them from blood splatter getting in their mouth during a surgery. It has nothing to do with what they're breathing out. Like, yep. The whole concept is patently absurd. And the size of viral particles are so unimaginably small that there's really no mask out there that can prevent you from acquiring a viral particle if it's in the air and you're exposed to particles for an extended period of time. Now, look, if there's other agents and chemicals in the air, absolutely, a gas mask is a great solution to have on hand.
Yeah, and I'm asking because, you know, obviously with the COVID pandemic, people went absolutely retarded with masks. I've seen people wearing scuba tanks. It got interesting. There was a lady
face shield masks. Yeah,
yeah. There was a lady Vader here. There's a lady that, and I remember it's a meme that some buddies of mine had sent me. And it was a lady who wrapped a face shield around her face with saran wrap. Well, she passed out in the parking lot. Well, yeah, that's what happens when you cut off the flow of oxygen. So, you know, I know the mask mandate is already starting to come back. I know, talking with other government officials, that the whole 6-foot rule had nothing to do with the spreading of viral contaminants. It really was almost a mind control operation. Can we get them to stand 6 feet away from each other? And people would do it. I mean, my God, when I was in the government, we did it. You know, we did it because we were told to do it. Of course, then you would find us mingling elbow to elbow with each other, thinking this is the stupidest stuff I've ever done in my life. I've been exposed to anthrax through the vaccines and all kinds of stuff. But this is just, it's gotten dumb at this point. And with Biden, in this current time, you know, I think Trump handled it to the best of his ability. And I still didn't like the way Trump handled what happened. Okay. The pushing of the vaccine and all that. I think Trump should have done a little bit more research. And everybody, I think, agrees with that. You know, Fauci is obviously the biggest criminal of our lifetime.
Yeah.
What do you think Biden would do if he was presented with that gem of a disease X in America?
I mean, I think Biden would view it as the biggest gift ever. And to your point about Trump, you know, I do think that he did his best. But I think if I were to look back at the Trump administration and kind of analyze what they did throughout the term, I think the number one mistake that was made was that Trump just kind of underestimated how deep the corruption went and how broad it was. I mean, the government is, I mean, it's like the 51st state. It's massive. It's massive. And the number of people that he would need to replace and reappoint coming into that, it's just a staggering number. And at some point, you got to draw the line and say, look, all these, you know, unelected officials, like, you keep your jobs, but like, you have no way of knowing where their loyalty lies. Now, you know, you have someone like Fauci, highly credentialed, career, you know, public health bureaucrat. At the time, you know, I think there was definitely troubling signs, but, you know, do I necessarily blame Trump for not recognizing it? I mean, you know, you're under the gun. It's pressure. We didn't know what was happening. He needed to make a decision as a leader, and I think he made the best decision he could at the time. Looking back, you know, hindsight's always 20/20 about how to go forward with it. But I think, you know, if nothing else, you know, we really saw, to your point, Doug, a experiment on the population on a grand scale. And if I'm the globalist in the Biden administration, I love the results because it showed you that people would comply to your demands, no matter how absurd and ridiculous. And that people could be controlled to go inject themselves with something that was not even tested or validated by any rigorous scientific study. So if I'm the Biden administration now and I'm thinking about disease X, I'm thinking, well, pretty far behind in the polls, not looking great. So I need a little juice here to get back on top. So they need to flip the script. So I think something like disease X is going to, you know, pull the attention away from Trump. They can also leverage the Trump administration's response to COVID as an example of poor governance by Trump. And then they're going to say, look, you know, they didn't even know what they were doing. We're going to do it so much better now. And they're going to kind of turn the volume up to 11 here and try to run the same playbook again, but go even further. And I think people, sadly, you know, they'll comply. You'll see people driving around in their cars by themselves wearing gloves and a mask, you know, sitting alone at a stoplight, right? There are people out there whose ideology is just baked into, the liberal mindset. And, you know, they can't turn their backs on that because that's betraying who they are, sadly. I think, fortunately, if COVID has done anything, the silver lining is we now know what team everyone's on and how big the teams are. And even the people who were tricked and coerced into, you know, taking the vaccine or doing something that, you know, has proven to be false are now angry and fed up. So I'm really hoping that, you know, if the Biden administration tries to leverage something like Disease X, I think Americans are more prepared. They're sick and tired of being lied to. And I think they're not going to live in fear again, because that's what we gave up last time. We lived in fear. Our children lost, you know, 2 years of school, prime years where they need to be learning and socializing and adapting to society, and they instead sat at home in front of their iPads. You know, people aren't willing to go back to that by and large. I really, really believe that Americans are ready for a change this year. And I think, you know, no matter what fear tactics get thrown at us, we need to stand up and move forward together. And I think we can defeat it.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, speaking of school, so I have 5 children. I homeschool all my children. For many reasons. And the thing that many people were afraid of, and I think at some point we've seen it in certain aspects, is forced inoculations at school without parental consent, because you already have the teachers' unions, and even to the point that certain state laws are allowing schools to turn their children into little reprobates, into what we call amphibians, because we can't see the trans word on YouTube, so we say amphibian. You know, there's no telling what a school can do. There was a Operation Mountain Guardian. So what this more or less was the Colorado government took certain schools, evacuated the schools without parental consent, and then took them all to a football stadium. And then from there, it was really a big Disease X type drill, kind of like grid down drills, but this was a Disease X type drill. And what it was training law enforcement more or less to do was how to learn how to deal with the parents who wanted access to their children. So you get into like a holy shit moment when you have that, and law enforcement went along with it. Okay. People who should know better go along with things. And so I do think America is more exposed to this certain level of medical tyranny and the propaganda. However, I don't have that much faith in my fellow American anymore, because I'm not going to say people are getting dumber, because man, they're getting dumber, but people are becoming very compliant. The word is capitulate. They're just allowing to be done whatever needs to be done so that they can go get their Starbucks and not be bothered anymore. I don't foresee that being very beneficial with us in 2024 when the riots kick up, World War III starts, Civil War starts, Disease X starts, and then the food riots start. But I want to bring this up because I want your opinion on this. Remember China when COVID broke out? Everybody lives in high-rise towers. They locked everyone into those towers and wouldn't let them out. I mean, people were dying in there. If we do go the full 15-minute city route, do you think that's part of what we can expect to see here in America when there's another pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And, you know, I was joking about the electric cars a few minutes ago, but not really. I mean, the electric cars are a government's dream, and there's already been bills that are on the floors of different state houses to install, you know, remote deactivation devices in automobiles as a standard feature going forward. I mean, imagine getting in your car and, you know, typing in the nav system where you want to go, and it says, sorry, like, you can't drive today. Like, you're not going there. But I think that's the reality in the future that I think that they want to push. I mean, you watch, I don't know if you ever watched like shows like Black Mirror on Netflix, but I think there's a lot of truth in these kind of Twilight Zone sort of techno futures where they're going to try to do everything they can to control us via vaccine passports, 15-minute cities, electrification of everything. You know, they can, you know, if everything's electrified, they can control what you eat, control whether your stove turns on, right? I mean, all of these things, I might sound paranoid, but all of these things, Doug, I mean, they're very easy for somebody in front of a computer far away to turn off and cut off your access. And it's just, it's frightening to think of, but at this point in human history, can you really count it out? I mean, I can't personally. I'm not gonna let someone take control of my fate like that.
Yeah, I mean, look at it like this: your internet provider, you don't pay it, it gets cut off. Your cell phone provider, if you don't pay it, it gets cut off. Go ahead and try and do work in 2024 without your cell phone or your internet, and because you can't do any bills legally anymore without the internet. So, don't pay your electric bill. Don't worry, the smart meter will cut you off too. And they'll also monitor how much you can have. And then they'll monitor whenever you use too much. And then they'll make you pay double for it. So, like, that's the whole goal of the what I call the infrastructure of the Antichrist, is to take us eventually to a point so far down the road that you cannot buy, sell, or trade lest you have the mark on the right hand or in the forehead. And people go back and forth, well, what is the mark going to be? It's kind of irrelevant. It's just, it is what it is. But now you have men like Bill Gates who are coming out with the inoculation that he wants now is no longer injectable. It's a wafer. You know, eventually you're not going to have a cell phone. You're going to have a smartwatch. And everything will be done on that smartwatch. I remember when I saw kids at like CVS Pharmacy, and they're paying with their stuff with their watch, and it's taking them 5 minutes to do it. I'm like, just take $20 out and just freaking pay. Get out of line. I got five screaming kids with me. But that's the future. Now I have a smart watch. I mean, of course, it's useful for what I use it for. I don't use it for paying bills, but that's eventually what it's going to go to. It was your social security card, and then it was the credit card, and then it was the debit card, and then it was the phone, and then it was, the smart watch, and then it'll be something in your hand. And this is already going on in Scandinavia. Different parts of Scandinavian countries are using the little RFID chip. Do you know anything else about the RFID chip that the audience would want to know?
I mean, we've seen experiments in implantable RFID chips for some time. It's not a new concept. And in fact, I think just yesterday or Monday, I think Elon Musk announced the first successful implant of his Neuralink chip into the brain of a quadriplegic person. And you can say, okay, well, it's helping people, but you also got to understand, like, what can this technology become, right? I mean, they can sense what you eat. I mean, congratulations, Doug, you had, you exceeded your monthly intake of red meat. You're back to eating insects now, right? I mean, it could become something like that. I mean, these implantable chips are easily, I mean, a better example, right? You have a dog, I assume, right, Doug?
Yeah.
You have the chip implanted in the dog's fur in case the dog were to run away and get lost.
Yep.
I mean, super common with pets, and it doesn't require any active power source. There's no battery, right? It's passive. But that's the level of sophistication that these technologies can have. I mean, they're chips the size of a grain of rice that can be, painlessly put under your skin and broadcast, your own unique identifier that can be, done for who knows what, but nothing good.
So you said broadcast, and that sparked a thing that I've talked to some guys about. There was a nasty rumor, which I don't want to say it's a rumor. I want to say it's real, about graphene being inside some of these inoculations, and that exposed to like 5K, 6K, whatever hertz, it would more or less turn off the human, nervous system. It would affect your brain. It could almost be an instant kill at a certain hertz because the graphene spikes and shoots out like this. It could almost, I guess you could say, be like an internal explosion inside your brain or your arteries or whatever. Have you heard of anything like that?
Yeah, so Karen Kingston has done some excellent research on that. I encourage the audience to check out her Substack. Certainly, graphene is a material that's commonly used in pharmaceutical production for a wide variety of pharmaceuticals, by the way, but primarily liquids that are injected. So you can necessarily expect to have traces of graphene in most shots that you would put in your body that are, made at a pharmaceutical plant. Now, I've seen a lot of studies both for and against the kind of weaponization of graphene, like you were just saying. Can I rule it out entirely? No, I can't. I will say, though, that like even if we're not focusing so narrowly on the graphene issue and look a little bit more broadly, we should be cognizant of 5G. I mean, that's something that worries me personally as someone who runs a health and wellness company. The amount of EMF radiation that is currently around us at any given moment is staggering, staggering. And, people say, oh, well, I turn my router off at night, right? It's like, well, like what about the 20 other people that live, within 100 feet of your house, right? It's a real concern, and these signals, in order to transmit data faster, the hertz increases, they become more intense, right? And it's just a constant march by companies out there to transfer data faster, to have more and more towers more clustered closely in order to transmit better. And we've seen people that have started to just experience these mysterious symptoms, Doug, that to me are obvious, that when they go to the country and they feel better, it's it's not necessarily because they're out in the fresh air. It's because there's just less exposure to all of this background radiation that we walk through every single day. And, you know, there's been things in the newspaper too about, you know, people who work at U.S. consulates and embassies overseas that are experiencing this acute sickness that's not viral or sort of like disease vector in nature. And I think there's real credence that they're testing EMF type weapons out that can make soldiers sick. And that's something that I personally would be concerned of. We get questions like this at the launch company all the time. My stock recommendations are the number one effect that these EMFs have on your body is loss of key heavy minerals like copper, zinc, magnesium, calcium. So make sure that you are constantly replenishing those if you're worried about EMF.
All things that would make you more susceptible to an illness.
100%.
Amazing. Amazing how that works, isn't it? Yeah.
Sure.
How would you protect yourself from EMF then?
Well, you know, look, if you ever see somebody with a little hologram sticker that's supposed to be protecting them, I mean, that's laughable. Like, that does nothing. That's total quackery. You can't do everything, right? I do think there's some credence into, clothing and other garments that have kind of copper wires in. I mean, yeah, think back to like the old concept of a Faraday cage, right? That has, you know, intersecting metal wires that block the incoming light waves. So that's an easy way, I think, for people to protect themselves if they're concerned. But I mean, honestly, like, it's not the type of attack on the body that's immediate, like, you know, getting cut or getting wounded. It's slow and insidious over time. So that's why it's important that even if you are exposed to EMFs, that you take everyday protection and you engage in heavy supplementation, because it's going to wear away slowly. You need to be constantly fighting back against that.
Have you ever heard if EMF can cause irrational behavior like spikes in anger or traits of psychopathy?
I mean, I've heard that. Yeah. I mean, look, I think the effects of EMF are wide ranging and kind of contingent on the individual who's being affected. Now, granted, like, I'm not a expert level in the topic, so there probably are people out there who could say, like, look, yeah, there's been studies that's done that's have shown that EMFs can affect, you know, people in various ways, and specific frequencies can do specific things to the human body. I don't have information that specifically on it, but again, I mean, ask yourself this, Doug. Over the past 20 years, almost everything that we thought was a conspiracy theory has kind of come true, if you think about it, right? Sadly, I mean, it hasn't been to our benefit. So at this point in history, I'm not leaving anything to chance, right? And when there's something like EMF, like, just take some steps to protect yourself, right? I mean, be like we've been saying this whole time, be prepared, right? Because chances are there's at least some truth behind it. I can tell you that.
Yeah, you know, since the 1950s and on, you have ARPA, which is actually called DARPA, but ARPA has been mingling with things like HARP and electronic counter warfare and then electronic warfare. And one of the things that they worked on was using signals, electric signals that can cause psychopathy, which is people going psycho, and it can cause irrational behavior that's almost uniquely close to like mad cow disease in bovine species. And so what I've seen with the whole 5G thing is that there's been a spike since we went 4G to 5G. And I watched the stats on violent behavior in cities in America because I'm a nerd. And one of the things I've found is since 4G and 5G have come on, there has been a spike in violence in every city in America, to include active shooters, not terrorist attacks, active shooters, which typically is one guy killing three people, or a mass shooting, as the FBI defines it, is four people or more. Also, the CDC defines that four people or more being shot, to include the shooter at one time. You have had since 2017 a 1200 plus increase in active shooters, in violent sprees of criminal activity in America. Around the same time, we got 4G and 5G, and it's only increasing. So what I was getting to is that with the compactness of cities and how close we live to each other, and you were saying these 5G towers are just being stacked one on top of one another. I mean, could it potentially be an influence of this type of behavior? I know very little about 5G, so I was hoping maybe you could enlighten.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing too, and this is, I think, kind of loops back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, Doug, with the graphene, but the childhood vaccination schedule. Okay, so from 1950 to the 80s, the vaccine schedule has gone from, you know, 5 childhood vaccines to about 80 in the course of a couple of years, right? And these vaccines have been linked to a ton of health problems because, look, you're taking some of the most vulnerable people of the population, infants, and you're injecting them all at one time with multiple different vaccines. Like, you don't have to be a doctor to understand that kind of sounds like a bad idea, right? Like, I can see, okay, inoculation, yeah, that makes sense. Inoculating for, you know, 10 different things at the same time, that sounds a little overwhelming for the immune system, right? From a, even if you have a non-medical background. So, you know, we can talk about the benign, right? So nut allergies, giant increase in nut allergies over the past 30 years. Before that, it was never a problem. Nut allergies, like, what's a nut allergy? No one had it. Now everybody's allergic to nuts. I have a nut allergy. Why is that? Well, they took these vaccines, and how did they grow them? They grew them in an environment that was derived from peanuts. It had the peanut and the nut proteins in it. Was one of the substances they used to make the vaccines in the production. So that triggers allergies. That's why we've seen this giant spike in nut allergies. People can say what they will, but I'm a firm believer that this mass increase in autism and behavioral issues is also driven by the fact that we've had this mass increase in vaccines. I mean, you look at the curves, Doug, they're the same. They overlap each other almost identically. Like, and, you know, there has been well-documented cases of, you know, people who had, you know, very normal behavior and brain chemistry that went through a heavy dosage of vaccines and did not come out better for it, had a lot of neurochemistry problems. So I think you take, you know, all the crises we've been having, the stresses, the massive EMF exposure, and the massive amount of vaccines that we're pumping into people nowadays, it's no wonder we're having these mass shootings and these giant problems. And by the way, there's no mental health infrastructure to back up these people anyway. Where would you go? I mean, look at all the homeless people wandering around. I mean, there's no institution set up to help these people. So it's a perfect storm, Doug. It really is.
Yeah, no, in like the West Coast, especially in Portland, Seattle, California, the Band-Aid is to give them more heroin. Oh, look, there's a big problem. We'll just give them some more crack. We'll just give them some more methamphetamine. You know, not taking them to the methadone clinic, which kind of really doesn't help that much, but, you know, they legalized Schedule One narcotics that when I would arrest you, you're going to jail for a long time because mandatory minimums, and now there's nothing. So you have an epidemic of fentanyl, and that is the, mm-hmm. the leading cause and leading death here in America is fentanyl. And especially in law enforcement, it's so dangerous because you're handling people all the time, sometimes with gloves on, sometimes without gloves on. You got to carry Narcan, sometimes two or three of them on you at all times. Thank God now you can actually buy Narcan at like Walgreens. That's one thing I suggest everyone to have is Narcan. It's just a little vial, snort it up the nose, pray to God that the person survives.
Save someone's life, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about the exposure of fentanyl?
I mean, first of all, where's all the fentanyl coming from? It's coming from the same place that the rest of our pharmaceuticals are coming from, China. I think, you know, ultimately this is one of those those subtle weapons that are being used against America by foreign countries. I mean, they just ship these drugs over. It's, so concentrated, so compact, it's easy to smuggle through a wide range of modes into the United States. It starts these epidemics. We're focused on the drug problem, the war on drugs, all of that. We're not really looking about how it's actually coming in and who's staying off it. But you don't see these fentanyl crises in other countries, especially some of the dictatorships that you had mentioned earlier. And I think there's a very good reason for that. But I think it's just tragic. I mean, I'll speak on a personal level. I've had family members who were on addicted to fentanyl, and it almost killed them. And it was given to him, and I shit you not, in the form of like a lollipop by a doctor. He was prescribed it. He wasn't an addict to begin with. I mean, he had a really bad accident. He had surgery. He had chronic pain, and the doctor thought that, these very, very heavy opiates were somehow appropriate to prescribe for a long period of time to help him recover from the pain. So, I think the government is absolutely doing the worst possible thing by just handing out these drugs to people. It is not helping anybody. It's killing more people. And instead of addressing the problem head on, which is stopping the supply, giving a hard line, equipping law enforcement and everybody everywhere to know what addiction looks like and to have them the tools with Narcan, with everything else, the support systems to actually recover them instead of these methadone clinics. I mean, it's just kind of laughable, but that's where we stand as a society today.
Yeah, the drug culture. The drug culture used to be something we worried about with gangs and the cartel in Mexico. No, the drug culture now is your family doctor and dentist. I know of a story of a lady who got a root canal. She was prescribed fentanyl, and now she's completely hooked and can't get off of it. It's one of those things that sometimes you take it once and you are permanently hooked. The brain cannot get off of it, let alone Jesus make an intervention in your life. And then the other part is you have these stupid kids in high school and middle school who are smoking dope, and they're smoking dope that's laced with fentanyl, which is who is doing that? How are you? Who figured out how to do that for one thing? Well, that was the cartels. The cartels, because it made more people want to come back and buy more of their product. That's one of the groups. They're not the sole group. It's one of them. It's we've got a completely addicted American people. They're addicted to drugs. They're addicted to pornography. They're addicted to violence, violent movies. I mean, violence is all the rage now. They're addicted to, which political candidate is going to save the world next. And yet very few people look at Christ for repentance. So I always pray for people, get off all this stuff. If you got to stop cold turkey, you do what you got to do, and you need to have friends and family to lean on who will keep you straight, because these drugs will kill you. That alcohol will eventually kill you. The cigarettes will eventually kill you, and your addictive natures will eventually kill you. The wages of sin is death. And so, I look at your company, the wellness company, and I think I'm soon going to start ordering some stuff from you guys, because me wanting to be prepared and self-reliant is something that I stress on people. I stress people, especially us men folk. You got two mindsets, Peter. You can be an asset or you can be a liability. And there's your 50-50. There's your fence in the middle. You're either an asset to your family, to your community, to yourself, or you're a liability. And liabilities get cut when the emergency happens. And that is life. That is pure hard life. I'm not going to keep a dude who's strung out on drugs, even if he's my best friend, around my family when prophecy hits the fan. You're on your own. If you can't straighten up, you're on your own. So we got 3 minutes left. I'll give the last 3 minutes to you, sir. If you want to throw in anything else about the wellness company, where they can purchase the products at, or if you got phone numbers, contact information, and then the last 3 minutes are yours.
I appreciate it, Doug. And I mean, what you said just so resonates with me. I think everybody's looking for self-help nowadays, right? I mean, it's a whole industry of itself. Really, the greatest self-help book was written 2,000 years ago, and people just need to open the Bible and get back to it. And I truly believe that. You know, we're not a Christian company per se, the wellness company. We have people of all faiths that work for us, but we are very strong in our beliefs. And by and large, you know, we really believe that most of what you need to know to survive and most of what you need is already in existence, right? It's not some fancy engineered drug in the lab that you're going to see in a TV commercial that's going to have 100 different side effects that they're going to rattle off in fine print at the end. It's the basic things that we've known about for eons that we all need to have on hand. So I appreciate the opportunity for the plug. If people would like to figure out more about the wellness company and learn about what we have to offer, go to twc.health. That's not .com, twc.health. You'll see everything we have to offer. Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Drew, they hand design everything that we do, from supplements to medications. We got your back.
Well, Peter, thank you very much for coming on with us today. I invite you to come on this platform anytime you'd like, sir. And ladies and gentlemen, please go and visit their website. Make sure that you're prepared for these times that are coming. If you don't have the proper medicine and supplements, you might want to consider getting them as soon as you can. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all we got. Thank you very much for watching. Stay frosty. We'll see you next time. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.